Okay, good evening, everyone. Last night we left off having discussed the main principles of Borer, or what needs to be in place so that a person could select without violating Borer. And we had said that, just briefly, normally it has to be the good from the bad. You have to do it by hand, not with a specialized tool, and you have to do it for immediate use. But we said when it comes to removing the peel of fruits or vegetables or an egg or whatever it may be, we said that even though that involves taking the bad from the good, it's still permissible to do it because that's the normal derech achila. That's how one normally eats, by removing the shell or the peel off of the food. And therefore, it's considered derech achila, not derech tikkun, Michael, and therefore it's a permissible borer. But we said you have to still comply with the other conditions. That means it has to be done by hand and for immediate use. So we had left off and saying, well, what happens when it comes to vegetables? Say if a person wants to peel a carrot in order to cut it up for salad, or peel a cucumber, it would seem to be awfully difficult to do such a thing by hand. So the answer to that is that just as we said, that if a person is wants to take a potato out of a chunk, and for immediate use, he wants to eat the potato right now, he's allowed to do that, and he's allowed to even use a fork or a spoon, because you're not expected to put your hand into a hot chalent pot, nor are you even expected to put your hand into other types of food. So using a fork or a spoon is considered just as an extension of your hand. It's considered biyad. And that's permissible. So the same thing is true by peeling. If a person would use a knife, everyone agrees that if you just use a regular knife and you use that to peel the carrot, then that's permissible. As long as it's done for immediate use, then it's considered derech achila. The knife is just an extension of your hand, because your hand doesn't cut. Your hand isn't sharp. Your hand doesn't cut. So the knife isn't facilitating borer per se. It's not making it easier to select between the two things. It's basically just making it easier to cut. So for example, let's say you wanted to cut the carrot into half. Now that's not borer, because you're not taking bad from good or good from bad. You're just cutting one thing into two parts. You'd still need a knife. You can't cut a carrot with your hand. So the here too, even though you're not cutting the knife into into two equal parts, you're taking off the outer layer of the carrot, which is the peel of the carrot, or the outer layer of the cucumber. Nevertheless, it's still using the knife is permissible, because the knife is just a facilitating the cutting process, not the selecting process per se. So everyone agrees you're allowed to use a knife. The question is, well, what about using a peeler, a vegetable peeler, if that's the way I would normally peel a carrot or peel a cucumber, or can I do that as well? So that already is a very big machlokas. Many poskim say, in fact, most poskim say that no, that you can't do, because a peeler they look at is more of a specialized tool. It's not just a knife. It's a knife which is designed for peeling. And peeling is inherently borer. It's inherently separating, you know, good from bad. Or bad from good. But so even though you may be allowed to do that on Shabbos, but as we said, it can't be done with a specialized tool. So most poskim say you cannot use a vegetable peeler. You can only use a knife. However, it's a well-known psak for Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, Zichron Livracha, that he said otherwise. He held that one is allowed to even use a peeler, because now the understanding of it, different ways of perhaps understanding why, but very simply, maybe the reason is that a peeler is also just a It's really just a form of a knife, meaning the peeler doesn't make it easier to separate. It makes it easier to cut. And it's your dexterity and your brain, your chachma, which is cutting at the point where the peel is coming off of the rest of the carrot. But the point of the knife is just to facilitate the cutting. As we said, nobody can cut with their hands. That might be the reason. There might be other explanations. Whatever it is, Rav Moshe held, you're allowed to use a vegetable peeler. But as I said, many others held it's usher. In fact, some of the Gedolim held it's mamash isser deraisa. So typically, I tell a person, look, if you're able to cut with a knife, so cut with a knife. Why do you need to enter into a machlokes, a big machlokes poskim, if you could avoid it? But if a person finds it very difficult, or they're not used to peeling with anything but a peeler, and they would have a very hard time with it, so definitely have what to rely on. That since for my shelf is better to do it, so it's definitely a very big reliable source that one can rely on if need be. Okay, now in all these situations of that's permissible bugger, we mentioned that it has to be for immediate use. So the idea of immediate use when it comes to, when you're preparing for a meal, when you're about to serve a meal. And during the meal, you want to serve some salads, or maybe you want to fruit salads as well. And certain things need to be peeled, or for that matter, there are other forms of bora that need to be done for the meal. For example, let's say the silverware, the cutlery is all mixed up together, so that in order to set the table, you have to do bora. What I mean is, if you would have a tray of silverware where everything is lined up neatly. The forks are in one compartment, and the knives in a different, the spoons in a different. So then to pick out specific pieces of silverware from that would not be borer, because it's not mixed together. It's not a taruvis. We mentioned last night, borer is only when you're separating from a taruvis, and you're selecting from a taruvis. A taruvis means a mixture. But so if you have a tray of silverware, or certainly if you have let's say a different, whatever, maybe a bucket. So you have a bucket with forks, a bucket with spoons, with knives. So then there's no borer to pick out the ones you want. And you could do that even if it's not for immediate use. But let's say the silverware is not that way. Let's say your silverware, the last time you used it and washed it and dried it, it was left together in one big pile. It's all heaped together. It is not separated by type. So then to select the types you need, most poskim say that is an issue of borer, picking out a fork from the bunch of all different assorted cutlery would be borer, picking out exactly what you need. I need one fork or two forks and one knife, etc. So it has to be done for immediate use. So immediate use, when you're preparing for a meal, the poskim say immediate use is the consensus of poskim is whatever amount of time it takes you to prepare for the meal, for all the various preparations, that's called immediate use, and you're allowed to begin preparing at that point. Meaning to say, let's say you have a number of things to do for the meal. You have you have some salads to prepare. You have other food, perhaps to get ready. You have to set the table. Except there are a number of items, a number of activities that have to be done to prepare for that meal. So you estimate, how much time is it going to take me to prepare for the meal? And you're allowed to begin the preparations at the beginning of that period of time, even if not all the preparations of borer involve borer. Some involve borer, some involve non-borer activities. But it's okay. You're allowed to even do the borer at the beginning of that period of time, because you're going to be preparing now, and you're going to be involved solely and exclusively in meal preparations, and then you're going to go right away to the meal. So that this period of time, let's say 45 minutes, it's going to take you 45 minutes to prepare for the meal. As I said, some preparations of borer, some non-borer. You could even do the borer at the beginning of that 45-minute period and then do the non-borer, as long as you're going to be involved in preparing right up to the meal. What you can't do is to decide, I want to prepare for the meal, and then I want to be able to rest a little bit before the meal. I want to have a 10-minute break before the meal. Perhaps I want to go and go out to shul to meet my husband and walk home with my husband. Or I want to be able to feed my baby, want to prepare for the meal, then go feed the baby or get the kids dressed or whatever. That's not okay. You can't do borer in preparation. If your preparations don't involve borer, and I would add in now also tochen, chopping up vegetables, because that also needs to be done for immediate use. But if preparations don't involve borer or tochen, fine, you could do that. You could do that whenever you want. That doesn't have to be done right away. Let's say, for example, all you need to do is set the table and the silverware is neatly arranged. It's not a taruvis, it's not mixed. So there's no borer involved. So if you want to set the table, then without getting involved in borer, and do that an hour before the meal, and then go and do whatever you want, and go take a nap, and go to shul yourself, and daven. You can set the table at 8 o'clock in the morning, and then go to shul and eat 12 o'clock in the afternoon, as long as there's no borer involved. As long as the preparations for the meal aren't borer and aren't token, you can do whatever you want. But you could set the meal, you could set the table Friday night for Shabbos morning. But if it does involve borer, whether in the silverware, whether it's salads or whatever it may be, it, taking things out of the refrigerator, which are assuming that they're in a taruvus format, they're mixed together in a way that involves borer. So then, as I said, borer can't be done except during the amount of time it takes to prepare for the meal. So as I said, it doesn't have to be, the borer doesn't have to be done last, but it can only be done only if you're going to be preparing straight up to the meal time. Now, you can't know exactly, you know, how long it'll take you, but you have to estimate how long you'll think it will take you. And it depends on how many people are coming to the meal. If you're serving, if you have 10 people coming to the meal, it's going to take you longer to prepare than if you have two people coming to the meal. So that all goes into it, the amount of time it takes to prepare for this meal of 10 people. That would all be considered within the realm of miyad, within the realm of immediate. But just you should know approximately what time your husband's coming home from shul. If your husband's coming home from shul, if you want to start the meal, let's say, when he comes home from shul, but you're not going to start before he comes home from shul, but you want to start as soon as he comes home from shul. So you should have an idea when he's coming home from shul, so you could make a proper estimation of how much time, assessment, how much time it's going to take to, assessment, I should say, of when the meal is going to start. The meal's not going to start, it comes from shul. But if you have no clue when it's coming from shul, so how do you figure out if it takes you 45 minutes to prepare, but how do you know when that 45 minutes starts if you have no idea when your husband comes home from shul? So some poskim say that you have to have, he should tell you for sure. And if you don't know, if you have no idea, let's say you invite guests, and you didn't tell them what time to come. So you really don't know what time to come. Or you did tell them to come at 12 o'clock, but you know in the past that these guests, 12 o'clock doesn't mean 12 o'clock. They're not so prompt. You tell them to come at 12, they could show up also at 12:30 or 12:20, whatever it is. Or if you know they have a number of children and whatever it may be. And you know very well that you told them we like to start at 12, but you know that that's a very rough estimate. And they could easily come at 12:30. So some say then you can't start until you know that they're coming, or until the amount of time it takes to prepare based on the latest time that they could come. Not, and if they end up coming earlier, then you'll have to wait. But others say that no, as long as you have a reasonable suffix, you're not sure when your husband's coming up. Sometimes he goes to a kiddush, sometimes he learns after davening, sometimes not. He may be home at 12, he might not be home at 12:30, but it's reasonable. There's at least a suffix. I know he may be home at 12, and if he comes at 12, we're going to start the meal at 12 o'clock. So others say that's okay. As long as you're preparing, you're within the amount of time when you believe that this meal may start, you're planning, you'd like the meal to start at 12 o'clock. It may not. Your husband might not walk in the door until 12:30, but he may walk in at 12 o'clock. He does sometimes, and I want to be ready for 12. So it's brought a number of sermon that's considered already within the amount, for immediate use. But I would just end by saying, if to the husbands, if you do know, or the wives ask your husband, let's say he does know, I do know that I'm going to a kiddush today, or there's a shir after davening is going to be longer. If you do know, it's proper, the husband should say, there's no way, I will definitely not be home at 12 o'clock today. I will not be home before 12:30 or 12:15. The husband definitely should tell his wife, and she should adjust her starting time based on his the time that he's going to arrive at home. Thank you very much. Have a good night, everyone. Be'ez Hashem, we'll continue tomorrow.
That was an excellent share, dear. Thank you.